No one else could. So he is deeply impressed by this and even falls down and pays homage to Daniel, a man with even an offering of incense to him, because he was so overcome by the writing on the wall. He was overcome by this incredible dream that he had, and Daniel was the only one, Israel, know, who would give him any answers to it. King, he makes the statement that his God, Daniel's God, is a God of gods. So he seems to get, like, converted. Seems to. But then we're starting to find out what really happened, yet somewhere along the way he loses the new attitude of who the great ruler of life is and goes back to building a statue to himself. Somewhere between chapter 2 and 3, the king lost track of what was right thinking. I don't know how many times it's happened to us. Somebody dangles another carrot out there and all of a sudden we lose, oh, gee, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Happens. Devil does that. Okay, and so he built a statue to himself. And so he did not recognize that Israel's God was the only God. Back in those days, they were a type of time to where there was always many gods. Well, who's your God? Well, where's your God? So there was many. And that was a very accepted situation back in those days. And so he did not recognize that Israel's God was the only God, just that Israel's God is supreme. Two other gods. That's what he found out. But King Nebi, I'll call him that, was the great ruler over all the world at that time. So, in order to make sure that all the peoples knew this, he had a statue of himself made up that was 60 cubits high, 60 times 18 inches, 90 feet high, and 9 feet wide. That's a big stat, quite impressive. You know, you wonder where you got the stats from. So in order to see how this was going to work out, it is evident that when a decree is made or a law passed, that it should be for the good of the people. Yet this man, being totally self-centered, wanted to make a god out of himself before the peoples. And so the herald proclaimed aloud, verse 4, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sounds of all these instruments that he listed, that you are to fall down and worship the golden image that this king has set up." Thousands and thousands of people knew that it was wrong, yet no one said, for fear of losing their lives from this dictator, this king. When he made a ruling, you don't do it, you die. Now, so these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, knowing what was on their consciences. Here we go. Each one of you has one. We are all responsible to God for what is in our conscience. What's your conscience? Ever tried to define it? Your conscience is, and I've gone to some research on this, is your communion with God. Pretty much what it is. What is right and wrong? God has laid it in your conscience, these things. And he gives you a spirit of wisdom to try to find out what it is. But he gives you this word as a basis. This word is the thing that brings you into a place with him that you can't be in error. Once you're in God's word, it's rock solid, it's strong, it's there today, it's there yesterday, it's timeless. You know that you can stand on it, and there's nothing that is going to be wrong when you read it. Isn't that wonderful? That's a pretty easy answer, isn't it, to life? Go in here and get the need for your conscience to try and figure out what it is that's going on in your head. So these three guys, knowing what was on their consciences, had to say no to this because they, watch this, knew who they were. They were Israelites, and they knew that we're not part of this Chaldean people here. We are three men who are set aside for the sake that we are God's own people. We're going to have to make a statement here. So they had to say no to this, and the statement of what they were, so they did not comply. So the Chaldeans, they came forward and squealed at him to the king. He said, "Oh, great king, live forever." Well, I put it in my ultra-liberal here. It's a very political statement. forgive me for that. So look at three guys, they say no to your decree. So he got mad, made the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual. So he taunted Israel's God by saying, who is this God that can deliver you out of my hands? Verse 15. Now let me ask you a question. Find another place in the Bible where that happened. David and Goliath? Remember that story? Because what did Goliath say to David? A little man standing there. He's just 10 foot taller or however he was. Man standing there is going to squash him in his foot. But he threw this statement out to David. How is your God able to deliver you? And God and David made a statement, didn't he? He made a statement to Goliath. And he said, you taunt the army. Anyway, whatever happened there, the point is that David made what? A statement of faith before he moved. So these guys made a statement of faith. We can't do this. We can't worship down. We can't fall down and worship this big, obscene thing that you've put up here. And so it made him really mad. So this is the answer to the king. Knowing who and what they were and who they were responsible, boldly said, hey, king, we have no need to answer you. How arrogant can you get? We have no need to answer you in this matter. And verse 17 said this, if this be so, our God, when we serve, whom we serve, thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and if not, now here is my section of teaching on faith. It says here, because of what we are and who we belong to, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship that thing you have set up there. And so this totally ticked off the king and threw him into a rage and tried to scare these three guys into disobeying their mighty God, who had it in his plan to deliver them out of the fiery furnace. They even bound them up hand and foot, got close enough to the furnace to get killed themselves. It's right in here. It's incredible what happened. And whoever does not fall down. So I'm reading here. In a furious rage, commanded that these three guys be brought. So they brought these men, and coming down to the golden image I have set up, and then they said, made this statement, O king, we no need to answer you. If this be our God whom we serve to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of here. But if not, have you ever said to God, but if you don't heal me? But if you don't make this happen, but if this doesn't happen anyway, what if this doesn't work? I'm still going to worship you. How many times in your lives have you come to a point in your life to where you've said that to the Lord? But if it doesn't happen, I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to be devoted to you. That's what these guys were saying. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And then he was filled with rage, so they threw him into the furnace. And you know the rest of this story, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they were not hurt, and the appearance of a fourth is like a son of the gods. You need to understand. I just realized something after reading that verse. You know why the angel was put in there? To untie him. Think about it. Isn't that a good idea? So you got in. They're all tied up and they're all bound up. So when the angel came in, the first thing he had to do was cut those bonds, didn't he? So they could stand up and walk around in the fire. I just thought about that. That's one of the jobs of the angel, let alone protect them. So the important thing was that God is trying to teach us several different things. But there's also the fact that this is a controversy that's been going on forever. And that is, who was it? Was it an angel? My footnote says that it was an angel. And this R.C. Sproul here is the Bible that I use. The angel may be identified with the angel of the Lord, Genesis 16:7. If so, it is a visible manifestation of God himself. God promised his presence when Israel walked through the fire. That was Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. So the important thing here is that Nebuchadnezzar saw the presence of God with his own eyes firsthand, trying to get the attention of, I mean, God did this thing, this miraculous thing, and these guys didn't even, they just knew they were being thrown in there. So there's these three guys in the fiery furnace, and they didn't know whether they were going to come out. They didn't know 1 minute to the next what was going to happen. But they made, what, a statement of faith. Out of their mouth. They didn't quietly wish it. They made a statement of faith. Once they made the statement of faith, and this is one of the things that I've learned as a Christian in the last 42 years of being one, and that's this. Boy, have I learned this. When you speak God's word over your life, over a situation, and you find what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life, and you go into that deeply personal relationship that he's given each and every one of us that have that. I think everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. You have this deeply personal relationship with a living God. Everybody has it in different levels. But I'm just telling you, after this, I accepted Christ in 73. But the important thing is that you need to understand that the depth of your relationship with God has no depths. It just keeps on going and going and going and deeper, because I'm so glad that it's boundless. It's constant. And when you give God time in your day, boy, when I give the Lord time in my day and I go into my word, it's like he just treats me so wonderfully for those few seconds I give him. The seconds turn into minutes. The minutes should turn into hours. I haven't done that yet. One week I spent the whole weekend, three days with the Lord, just me, the Bible, Gospels. That was it. And I did that in Texas once. I went for my own personal, private retreat, life-changing. By the end of 3 days of being in the Gospels, wow, did the Lord speak to my heart. I had a whole notebook full of notes directly from the Lord, using his words. Life-changing. So I'm telling you these things because it is important. Where does your faith get built from? Your faith gets built from what's in here. And the stories that are in the Old Testament, how Jesus teaches us in the New Testament, all the way through to the beautiful epistles that tell us how to live life as Christians. And I don't ever get full. I don't know how you guys feel, but I never get full. I always find out something more to read, something more that's going to bless me, something more that's going to make me ready. See, the important thing you guys need to understand is that today is just today. Tomorrow, there might be a divine appointment waiting for you. You don't even know what's going to happen. Let me give you an example. I was in Hawaii, and I think we only had 1 or 2 days left. And I didn't know. Wanda and I went into a mall, and we were just sitting down, kind of like looking around in this mall, just resting. And here was this man sitting over there. He had a cap on, and it was a baseball cap, and it said something that I could make a link with. And I walked over there, and I just looked at him, and I just said, "Sir, may I have a few moments with you?" Just be real polite with people. And he was saying, "Well, yeah." He says, "I wish someone was going to talk to me." I said, "Really?" And I sat down, and we had the nicest conversation. And he was looking, he had a hunger in his heart for somebody who would come and become his friend, even for a few moments there. And we just went like that so fast. And I ministered the word of God to him. And he was just so happy that I had come over to sit down to him. Now, I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back, guys. I'm just saying this. Obedience produces God's reward. Because he is, and be taught by this, he is a rewarder of them, and I hope you're one of them, that diligently seek him. We diligently seek him. We diligently seek him. We do it. Get ready with a notebook, because God wants to talk to you many, many times. He wants you to remember what he said to you. Date it. Write it down and date it. And you will see, and then come back. I got volumes at home of notebooks of things that God has spoken to me back in the 70s and 80s. That I can refer back to when I was going through my fiery furnace. Boy, it was a rough time. So I just wanted to tell you these things. You shall be made to eat like grass. My goodness, I'm going through chapter 4. I'm not going to take away your thunder. So here we are. The Most High God, He is out there, and here he is. He calls him out. Nebuchadnezzar takes a look at what's going on. He says, look at it, I see fire. Come on out of there. Come out of this furnace. Come on out. And so they came out, and one thing led to the next. And he is saying, wow, the hair of your heads was not singed. Their clothes were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. He loves the big decrees. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, and there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Isn't it amazing how the Lord put them right back to where they had been? Put them right back into their places of office. Amazing. So they went full circle. The important thing is that when we are looking forward to God showing up into what it is that we need for our various situations, what's it take? Isn't that a good question to ask? What's it take? So the mighty miracles that we need in our lives are going to come through faith. A mighty miracle happened, and the Lord even put an angel in the furnace to protect them. He had to untie them and let them walk around, or he spoke about that. So the important thing about these guys was that they had to make a decision. They had to make a decision to die or die twice. Because you see, their eternities were at stake here. So this is the point. Be obedient to him, whatever the consequences. So are we to obey sin and our mortal bodies or obey God? Since he is faithful, better obey him and do the right thing. So, and again, I said the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him on everything. So Hebrews 11:6 says this, for without faith it is impossible to please God, and he is a rewarder of them, again, that diligently seek. I can't say that enough. So King Nebi now felt, feeling guilty about this, and seeing the fourth man in there, came near to the door of the furnace, and I already explained what had happened. They said, come on out. So the important moral of the thing, fear God, not man. Fear God, not man. So the important thing about this entire teaching here is that whatever it is regarding your fiery furnaces, and I've had a few of them, to where God is, you know, you find out this, it's only just a season that you're going through. But we don't, sometimes we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes it's just like, oh, Lord, how are you going to get me through this? Amen? I mean, there are some times in your life that you just cannot see it. Sometimes it could be disease. Well, gee, I've got cancer, or I've got this issue, or I've got that issue. But the important thing is, yes, it's a fiery furnace, and sometimes you're not physically burning, but then again, you got this disease inside of your body you don't know what to do with. And boy, did we see that. And sometimes it does go to death. And if it does, it does. For us, it's a win-win situation. Yes, if disease takes you to the final end, then we're going to go be with our precious Lord and Savior. Win. Got a win-win situation. Yes, we've got to go through the fire, the pain of the fiery furnace of disease, and I've been there, but the Lord delivered me out of a couple of mine. Most of you know I've had open heart surgery. Well, I didn't know that was going to happen to me. But when I had it, it was November 11th, 2015, and I'll tell you, that was 11 days I never want to repeat. Terrible. By the time I got to the sixth day, I do want to tell you this story. This is, I'm laying in there and I was going to have surgery the next day. All of a sudden, in my room walks my nurse. Her name is Dana. So she comes walking in my room, and she was out of breath. And she comes in, she looks at me, she says, I came in here to get some peace. I said, let me tell you about it. So I just jumped out. I had one of my cute little blue New Testaments with me, New Living Translation. And she came make a long story short, she came right into the kingdom of God because I went to the subject that she had not yet settled, 21 years old, that she had not settled yet, and there was the subject of eternity, and she didn't have a clue what that meant. I said, let's talk about your eternity. Let's talk about what it is that really matters. And so she just sat down and let me teach her. And it didn't matter my condition, my physical condition to stand there. But this authority came over me, is that when you present yourself with the Word of God and the richness and the power that there is in it, just know that the Holy Spirit's there to help you. I mean, it's His Word. And He's gonna make you feel like wonderful. So I was in my fiery furnace, and I had to come out of my fiery furnace to take a look at what God wanted to do at that moment. And it was wonderful, because when the girl walked out the door, she had new life. And that's what it's all about. Life is all about watching the Holy Spirit transform somebody else's life into a brand new walk with Him. Oh, it's the most wonderful thing I've ever witnessed in my life, and continue to do it day by day. We've got the Godmobile coming up here for me, so I'll be in Washington County Fair almost the whole week evangelizing people. Last summer we had 500 decisions for Christ, and it was just the most remarkable time that we ever had being in our Godmobile Full Gospel Wisdom Fellowship. But I want to end up my talk here this morning by saying this, and that is that when you approach the fiery furnace of life's overwhelming moments, that God is always with you. We simply need to turn on to Him. We go into the Word, and 90% of the time He will, 100% of the time, He will be with you through that fiery furnace, and He will teach you things. But just know this, it's a season of time that you're going through. God's going to deliver you out of it. And He's going to come to bring you to a place with Him to where you're going to have been taught something. Sometimes it's about your character. Sometimes it's about an area in your life that you did not want to address. And all of a sudden He shows it to you. And you know what that is at the time that it happens. And once that comes into play, He expects you to deal with it. But more than anything else, He wants you to, we all have souls. And our souls tend to get, and I use this term, and it's pretty accurate, our souls get noisy. Mine does. And I have to deal with this part of my life that's so full of flesh and the heart. The heart doesn't need any facts to get you to make up its mind to do something. It just needs feelings. Think about it. The heart is deceptively wicked and desperately sick. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. But the most important thing that you can realize is once the heart is ruled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's where the victory is. The victory is in your spirit man, because the spirit man has been sealed until the day of Christ's return. And because it's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's up to you to feed it by the Word of God. Once the Word of God overcomes the wiles of the soul, there's victory in life. So I just want to tell you those things, and we don't have to really worry. Once we realize that Jesus is Lord, we have this deeply personal relationship, just like Daniel had, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They knew who and what they were. See? You got to really, sometimes daily, realize, sometimes by the hour, by the minute, know that you belong, not to yourself, and a great price has been paid for you, and that is the blood of Jesus. Has been paid for you. And once you realize that that blood is constant, it's a constant, so then it's going to give you, and I'm going to leave you with this, living water. So who's the living water inside of you? That's Jesus Christ. What's He going to do? He's going to flow. He's going to bubble out of you all day long. And the richness and the fullness of that precious living water is there because of what His Word says. Amen, Jerry. Amen. So the important thing is, live life today. Live life full of God's presence. Why? Because God is a right now God. He's a right now God, and He's full of joy. He's full of fruits of the Holy Spirit. He's full of promise. And He's also full of reward. So, having said that, bow your heads and let's pray. Father God, I just lift up to You this teaching and these things about our dear brother. And this example about being in the fiery furnace. And I just thank You, Lord, that the fullness of what this teaching is about might help some men in here today. And we give you all the praise and glory and thanksgiving for what you're going to do in the future to help these men perhaps take this teaching and show somebody else that God is faithful. And so I pray, Lord, for the futures of these men, that they might have mighty divine appointments that are set aside to where you can work in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.